All right, good evening. Good to have you with us tonight. This is our introductory class for Scripture Memory. I have brought the book with me, Scripture Memory Made Easy. In fact, it's handy enough, small enough, it fits in your pocket. I had it in my pocket. I also have it in Logos Bible software, so I'll put it up on the screen. We'll be taking a look at it here throughout the course of the time tonight. Now, were you with us 2 years ago when we did this a couple of summers ago? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, no, no, okay. So, mostly yes, some more no's. We have some additional folks that promised me this morning that they'll be here next week, that they're not available to be here tonight, including some of these families with the smaller kids that we're looking forward to and we're eager to take part in this with. So, they're not with us tonight, but we will be posting emails and information available to the Everyone At list. And also, we had actually a web page last time for the Scripture Memory that documented the schedule and the other items there. So we'll see if we can link that again and update it some with what we're doing here. But Scripture Memory Made Easy, if you don't have the book yet, I think we included information in the newsletter, right? So a couple weeks ago that went out, so there's information there. If you still need information on it, let me know, and we'll get it to you so you can order it and have it on hand. In the meantime, we can make PDFs and verse lists for you and things like that. There are two verses to learn before next Sunday, and they are pretty easy. So we'll tell you what they are before we depart. But they should be very well known. In fact, the section we're going to is a pretty simple section. It relates to the cross of Jesus, as we were just singing about. It relates to the reconciliation that we have, that the Father made possible through the blood of Jesus' cross. And we'll be dealing with that here in the upcoming weeks. Let's go ahead and start here. I also, 2 years ago... read several selections from Wojcik. Wojcik has a book called, N.A. Wojcik is his name, has a book called You Need to Memorize Scripture. And I recommend it. There it is. Doug's got a copy of it. You Need to Memorize Scripture. And I couldn't agree more. You know, the blessings of having it in your heart where it's what you think of, it's what you dwell on, it's what you chew on. You just can't, you can't rely on your doctrine in a notebook, all right? Can't rely on what you think the Bible says. There's nothing that beats actually having it implanted in your soul. And I want to be able to really encourage us in that capacity here in just a moment. Now, I haven't opened in prayer yet, so I better do that, right? Because it would do us no good to not start with prayer. It would do us no good to sit here in carnality. And everything that we're doing in every Bible class, no different, just because we're going to do some interactive, we'll do some back and forth, we'll do some recitations. Nevertheless, we're going to start with prayer. We're going to dedicate it to Jesus Christ and His glory. We're going to dedicate it to pursuing the Father's good pleasure. And this, by the way, is the same process we're going to do day after day after day when you sit down to work on your verses. All right? I mean, don't just grab your book and thumb through and say, all right, what were those verses again? And start, oh, yeah, that's right. Don't just think of it as an earthly memorization activity. It is a spiritual activity. You want to start, before you open this book, you want to start it with prayer. Start it with a lot of prayer. All right? And then work to the point of the memorization, okay? Which for some of us will come easier, and for others, for me and most of us, will come not so easy, all right? But we're going to use the divine resources that overpower our human limitations, and that's it's fun to see how He does for that. So let me start with prayer, and then we'll proceed. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word and the privilege we have to assemble together tonight. And I thank You, Father, because I already anticipate what the blessings You have for us in this time, the blessings that we realized 2 years ago when we did this a couple summers back. Father, the fun and the joy and the delight to not only hide Scripture in our heart, but also, Father, to have a frame of reference in which we have a commonality. We're able to talk to one another, to these children, to everyone that's taking part. We're able to fellowship over the verses we're working on in this particular week and how we're doing with it and what it means to us and everything involved in this activity. So we're looking forward to these blessings again. We commit to you this activity, Father, knowing that it is a discipline. It is an effort that requires diligence. But Father, we thank you for the exercise because this is part of our equipping in other areas of the Christian walk that require discipline, that require effort. And if we're not willing to put forth this effort and this discipline, then how do we expect to survive in other areas of conflict? So, Father, this time is yours. Do with as you see fit for your good pleasure. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, as I mentioned, I do recommend, if you don't have this yet, please pick up a copy, because in the back you got the fold-out. In the back you've got the pictures and the helps and the charts to show you where the verses are and what we're working on from week after week. This is designed for a 52-week program. There's a couple of review weeks in there, so it's not 52 memorization weeks. It's really 50 memorization weeks and 100 verses, okay, two per week. So when you complete this book, you've got 100 verses stashed away in your soul. And not just, you know, Jesus wept kind of verses. I'm talking about verses with, that's a freebie. You get that one at no charge. But verses actually that are connected together topically, that are actually grouped together thematically, that is by theme, so that there is that they're not just unconnected bits of data. That's actually information that comes together in an organized way that we can understand why those verses come together the way that they do. And I'll show you what I mean as we kind of review what we did a couple years ago. I'll walk you through the sections we've already finished and then also kind of highlight some of the cheerleader pages that show up throughout this book, all right? Because it's not just simply, you know, page one is week one, page two is week two, and just week after week after week with a list of verses. There are encouragement pages scattered throughout. There are cheerleader pages, I call them, whereby even though your football team is getting creamed on the field, there's a bit of a pep rally kind of excitement that says, all right, come on, you can get this, anyone can do this kind of a thing. And it's right, because this is not an earthly activity, it's a spiritual activity. And if I can start with one passage, how about Psalm 119, thy word I have hid in my heart. All right, what's the point in doing that? You know, we do this so as to not sin against thee, right? We do this so that we are transformed by that very word that's treasured within our heart, within our innermost being. All right, so there is a value to this. That's Psalm 119:11, by the way. Your word I have treasured or hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. You know, that's what shapes your thinking. That's what's on hand when the temptation arises. When the temptation arises, it's not the nature of the spiritual battle to say, all right, stop right there. I want to go home and review my notebook for those doctrinal notes I took in Bible class 6 years ago related to the doctrine of temptation. Okay? You can probably go find those, hunt for those in your notebook, and then go to the website and listen to the Bible class. But that's not generally how you have victory in your temptations. The temptation is a moment-by-moment thing. And you got to take that thought captive right here, right now. If you don't, you'll never make it home to pull out your notebook and look up the files and review any of that. So, why bother learning Bible verses? Why bother learning Bible verses? Is it a bother? I think it's a delight. You know, it's a privilege. I think it's one of the neatest things in the world. And other religions do so. I mean, Muslims memorize their Quran, and Hindus memorize many of their Vedic poems, and Jews, of course, memorize their Hebrew scriptures, and I'm not critical of that. But it is an exercise that we're privileged to do. God saw fit, didn't have to do this, God saw fit to put revelation into written form. God saw fit to entrust us with a body of literature. It is a trust. What does it say in Jude? That there's the faith that has been once and for all delivered to the saints. And so this is our treasure. It's the greatest thing, other than the person of his son, it's the greatest thing that he's ever distributed to humanity. Okay? And the fact that we have this, especially as Americans, oh my, How many Bibles do you have on your shelf? How many Bibles do you have access to? And if you want more, there's a store down the street. You can go buy another one. All right? It really is amazing at the provision we have in this country. And then if you don't even want to spend money, just hop on the website and you got Blue Letter Bible and you've got, I mean, there's no shortage of free Bibles available on the internet. Okay? It's not all cat videos and funny YouTube stuff. Okay? There's actually edifying material on the internet, like Blue Letter Bible or Open Bible, or I like Biblia.com. That's connected with Logos Bible software. There's no shortage of free Bible resources that are available there. But the point is, this is God's entrusting to us His Scriptures. And to not take advantage of what is described as infinitely more valuable than gold is crazy, and it's insulting, and it's not appreciative. It's like a rebellious child that says, okay, well, yeah, you provided for me, but I don't care, right? Like, you know, why, you just take it for granted, and like a spoiled child that fails to appreciate everything God did on our behalf, including the provision of written scriptures. So memorizing helps you to understand God's Word. It helps you to understand God's Word. You know, the more verses you have locked away, think about it. Think about the thrill it is on, you know, you're in Bible class and the pastor is teaching and whatever, and then he says, hey, let's go look at this passage over here. And you go, yes, I know that passage over here, right? You're already tracking with where the thought's going, and you're like, yes. Okay, and it helps with understanding how it fits with other scriptures, how it comes together in the whole counsel, as opposed to not memorizing God's Word ever, and then wondering, you know, why are we going here? What's this about? Okay, failing to see those connections between one passage and another. Memorizing Bible verses also helps you to pray. You know, the bulk. Look at all the prayers that are in the Bible. Many of the prayers that are recorded in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Psalms, different places. And in their very prayers, what are they doing? They're quoting other Bible verses, all right? They're calling upon God's faithfulness. You know, in their prayers, they're saying, God, I know you're not going to leave me nor forsake me. You know, why did you say that? Because the Bible verse says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, all right? And so you have verses that are filling your thinking, and then you're pleased to be able to offer them back to God. And memorizing Bible verses does help you to pray. Helps you to meditate on God's Word. You know, if you don't have it memorized, then it's hard to think about it, right? You can't remember what you've never learned. That's the, you know, you can't reminisce with people you don't know. All right? It's these are just the realities. If the Bible verses are not old friends, then how do you reminisce? How do you enjoy that fragrance of memories if you don't have those memories? Okay? To meditate on God's Word. And if, you know, you think about it, how many countless opportunities are there? You know, tomorrow morning I'm going to be standing in a long line of all these potential jurors, you know, waiting to process through and waiting for my selection. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hurry up and wait. Okay, I remember the Army days. I remember county government time. I know how this works. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to sit there. I'm going to twiddle my thumbs. I'm going to pull out my phone and play Othello. I mean, what am I going to do? Or, it's a good game, by the way, Reversi or Otho. But, or, how about something edifying? How about something that has eternal value? How about thinking, hey, my verses for the week include Colossians 1:20. Let's start with that. It's kind of awkward the way it's a verse that starts with an and, but okay, and. And just start thinking my way through it and spend some time on it. I bet you I can have the thing memorized by the time I get thrown off the jury. All right, that's at least a worthy goal, okay? But to meditate on God's Word. So you're in a doctor's office. You're waiting for the dentist. There's countless things that you can do. You know, how about next time you're at HEB, instead of darting for the shortest line, you know, go ahead and get in the longest line and say, all right, I'm going to use this extra time now to think about the Scriptures and work on my verses, okay? Certainly more edifying than I didn't get any coffee. Do we have coffee, me? Well, thank you. Certainly more edifying than the garbage that's sitting in the checkout lane and reading those headlines, and there's some pictures you don't want to be looking at anyway. So just close your eyes and shuffle through the line and work on your scripture verses. The opportunity to meditate on God's Word. Memorizing Bible verses also helps you to share Jesus with others. And in fact, the section of the book that we're starting is where we left off 2 years ago. It's the next section moving forward. The section of the book we're starting deals with the cross of Christ. And so these are powerful verses that will help you in your evangelism. It's going to help you. It's going to connect very well with next hour. It's going to connect very well with what we're doing this summer, having the PMW evangelism class as well as other endeavors related to evangelism, whether it's child evangelism or VBS or so forth. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Also, memorizing Bible verses helps you to counter Satan's attacks. Okay? Think about how he attacked the Lord. And all three times, Jesus had scriptures handy from the book of Deuteronomy. Right? Man shall not live by bread alone. All right? Think about that. The next time you got a temptation to steal, thou shalt not steal. Right? You know, you got, you've been purchased with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. Okay? Just think about different verses that you have that may answer certain temptations and so forth. Having the scripture in your heart and readily to your lips. Readily to your lips. All right? This is a part of understanding even what the Bible is to start with. The Bible is not a reference book. The Bible is not a phone book. The Bible is not a tech support manual. The Bible is not what people try to turn it into, right? Where they ignore it most of the time, but then they've got a problem, and so they say, all right, how can this help me? How can this help me now? Okay? We should be in the Word every day anyway. And in the Word, we're reading it, we're praying over it, we're studying it, we're memorizing it, we're in Bible class being fed from it, okay? And then we're fellowshipping in it with one another. Lots of things that we do with the Word of God as it dwells richly within each one of us, okay? And that's the imperative. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, okay? Let it dwell richly within you. It needs to be alive and powerful. It is alive and powerful, but it needs to stay that way when you take it in and let it dwell richly within you. All right. You know, it's interesting, and I've shared this before, but if you ever get tired of my stories, let me know. I'll steal somebody else's stories. But these are my stories. And working in the sheriff's department and talking to fellow deputy sheriff, corrections officers in the jail, and sitting around and talking about, sports, greatly edifying things like that, and talking about, who's your favorite running back? I like Emmitt Smith. I like Barry Sanders. I like, you start naming names. This was years ago. Who's your favorite wide receiver? Oh, I like so-and-so, I like so-and-so. And he's good, but he's got an attitude. He's terrible with the teammates. Who's your favorite linebacker? And you're just going on and on and on. And what's remarkable is that the people who follow football had no problem talking about it because they follow it. It's of interest to them. And year after year, season after season, they're keeping track of stuff. And they're thinking about, the running backs today are all right, but boy, there was nobody like Herschel Walker. Boy, do you remember so-and-so? You remember Walter Payton? And talking about football heroes from years gone by. Okay? There's a reason why these sports figures have entered into pantheons called the Hall of Fame. There's a reason why they're idolized. There's a reason why this is what our culture has done with these athletes, with these sports. Okay, it's the same thing with baseball and basketball and I imagine hockey. I don't understand hockey, but there are hockey people. Okay, and they can talk. Wayne Gretzky, this is one hockey guy I know. Okay, Mario Lemieux. I don't know. Maybe I know a few more. But the point is when you are familiar with something, you follow it, you think about it, it's on your mind, you keep track of it, then readily you can just start talking. It becomes a subject for conversation. So in the process of having this conversation that night, I threw a monkey wrench into the whole process when I turned. There was only one other Christian on the shift, and I turned to him, and Pentecostal guy, that's all right. He's saved, and we like the Lord. So I turned to him, I said, hey, Gary, I said, who's your favorite apostle? And boy, you talk about ending a conversation. You talk about the party pooper at this deal. So he talked about Paul, and I talked about Peter, and it was a very short conversation, really, because he named his favorite, I named my favorite, and then we just kind of looked around, and we were waiting. Somebody, come on, somebody. jump into this. Let us know, you know. Nobody. And then awkward moments of silence later, and then it was back to, you know, whatever, some other football player, okay? And it, you know, it doesn't take long. If it's, if you, you can tell, it doesn't take long. In conversation with somebody, you know if they're in the Word or they're not in the Word. If they're comfortable talking about it, not comfortable talking about it. I mean, that yeah, they know what the Bible is, but they don't spend much time there, right? It becomes very obvious. Remember, it is God's Word. It is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. And that's another thing, is that not only is it good to have, but there's going to be a benefit to you, because the more Scripture you internalize, then the less darkness you let yourself get away with. That conviction comes faster. The conviction comes faster. You don't have to wait for next Wednesday or Sunday or some message coming up. Who knows when the next time the pastor might hit the particular deal you're struggling with. So how about if you've already got the verse planted right there? Then you don't have to wait for that next convicting sermon to come along. That convicting sermon is going with you day by day, moment by moment, because you've got it implanted within your soul. So it is God's Word, and it is a critical judge of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Remember, it's God's inspired Word. God breathed, theopneustos, we studied some time back. You know, in bibliology, right? In the systematic theology, we looked at 2 Timothy 3, that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. Profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. All right, motivation. Motivation. Just get started. How about that? Okay. The best way to get motivated is just start doing it. Okay. And fail however many times you fail, but just keep getting up. Try some more. Okay. Work with a partner. Work with you know, a brother, a sister, fiance, whoever. Okay. Work with a child, which is great, because then you can really encourage them and then get embarrassed and try harder. All right. Work with a child. Go back and forth. You know, even within a verse, if you're struggling with a particular verse, then break it up into parts, break it up into halves. You know, say the first half of it and make the other person finish it. And just make a little game out of it, okay? Keep working on it, because it will be planted in that way. You need to be motivated to get started. You need to be motivated not to give up. And the motivation is the privilege of that intimacy with God. The fact that when it's done, all right, you know, do you need, you know, Awanas will give you badges, or maybe you could get a, we could create some badges if you want, all right? We'll let you wear a special hat on Sunday morning if you have, no, I won't. But think about it. Think about if we set our church up like a martial arts dojo, you know, studio, and you got black belts and brown belts and blue belts and green belts. And what if we had belts assigned based on how many hundreds of Bible verses you had? You don't get your black belt until you have 1,000 verses down. All right? Could be intimidating to visitors if we have all these black belts in here. In the all right, so these are just crazy ideas. I don't know why I think of them, but ideas we have, okay? But guess what? We don't need the special uniforms or the badges or the belts or whatever. We know in our flock, among our family, we know who has a whole lot of Scripture locked away, right? I mean, we know who's been doing this for decades, okay? And so that can be an encouragement too. Go to them. Okay? Say, can you work with me? Bet you anything they will. Right? All right. So don't worry if you think your memory is terrible. You know what? Mine is too. But a memory is a developed skill. Okay? A memory can be trained. And when you go through the discipline of doing it, the memory will be trained. It's a part of how the mind is designed. And there are helps and there are tips for how to do it. And it involves writing the verses out for yourself in your own handwriting, on your own cards, writing it, listening to it, hearing it, seeing it, all the mechanisms that will improve your memory. I've tried it before. I don't care. Do it again. All right. Okay. It doesn't matter if you tried it before. Do it again. The more you do it, the better it becomes. I don't know how to do this. Well, the book tells you how to do it, and we're going to walk you through it week by week. I'm worried that I'll just give up. Okay, well, we won't let you give up. How about that? We'll come alongside and work with you on this. I mean, ultimately speaking, at the end of this summer, don't you want to be stronger as a Christian than you are now? Don't you want to have more scripture locked away? I mean, why wouldn't you want to have more verses? We don't have any clue what's coming up this fall, this winter, what's coming up. I recommend it's a good idea to get some scripture locked away. All right. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. I think this is a King James translation, but obviously you want to memorize in whatever text you are most comfortable with, most familiar with, the text that you use most often. For me, that's the New American Standard. We recommend you don't try to change versions for memorization unless you're actually changing languages, all right? If you're trying to memorize in the Greek, that's one thing, or the Russian, that's one thing. But if you're working on your English scripture memory, then pretty much you want to do it in your dominant Bible text, because that's the one you're reading anyway. That's the one you bring with you to church. That's the one that you're reading in your devotions. That's the one you have for common everyday use. So that's the one you want to have your scripture memory in. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Look at these descriptions for doctrine. These descriptions for the Word of God. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, okay? And in all of those, 7, 8, 9, then after there's the description of what the Word of God is like, then there is a description of what the Word of God does, okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, and that's what it is, but what does it do? Restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. All right, so it's not like, you know, keep in mind, the Word of God is alive. It does things. Not only do you have descriptive adjectives of it, but what does it do? Not only what is it like, but what does it do? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That sounds kind of neat, actually. I could use some rejoicing of my heart. That might be a neat provision for discouragement, you think? Okay. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be a promise specific to your circumstance. All right. So let's say you're faced with a test. Give me a random test, inapplicable to anyone here. Let's just say you have a loved one who passes away, right? My mother passed away. And so I've got a test. Now, do I have to find verses that deal with dead people or heaven or anything at all connected there? Or is there a value in just simply any passage of Scripture, all passages of Scripture, the whole counsel of God's Word? The fact that the more I am saturated with doctrine, then the more I am molded into the image of Christ, the more transformed I become. And so I may not have a single verse memorized. The section, as I said, is about the cross of Christ. So there may not be a single verse that addresses, I need a job and I've got money problems. There might not be a single verse that says, whatever. Okay, whatever test I'm going through. My dog ran away. My wife ran off. Whatever test we're faced with. These verses, you see what I'm saying? They don't have to be specific. Now, you do want them to be specific if you're answering a challenge and a temptation like Jesus. You know, the turn these stones into bread was answered by man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, so I don't want to misstate what I'm trying to emphasize here. Yes, there is value in precise scriptures for precise challenges. However, the discipline of scripture memory is not limited to that. The fact is that we're saturating our soul with the whole counsel of God's Word so that we are more mature, we are stronger, we are more stable. We're more stable. And then even if we don't have an exact verse to hit, we have the stability to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to spend the next night in prayer with you, and I'm going to search the Scriptures, and I'm going to find something, okay? That's all I'm trying to say on that. Maybe I ramble too much with that. All right. Flawless, like pure gold. It's unlike memorizing anything else. And there's some techniques. You know, if you ever memorized the Gettysburg Address, you ever memorized the Shakespearean soliloquy, right? You ever memorize long lists of numbers? Why do you do that? Okay. You know, why do you care if pi is 3.14159265 4? You know, do you really need that many digits out? And there are some people that have gone thousands of digits, right? When they're reciting pi, it takes hours because they have memorized thousands of digits. What's the value in that? Okay. Hopefully, along with that, they're training their mind for improved memory, and they're going to also memorize Scripture. Wouldn't that be something? But think about, let me share one other story. Jim Myers is a huge, huge, not only proponent, but I think he's a disciple and an apostle for Scripture memory. In the value of having it on hand if you're ever called upon to come alongside somebody and there's not a Bible handy. Well, you're handy. All right, you're handy. And what if there's a hospital situation or there's a street crisis or there's something and you got to be there. There's no Bible around. Well, you're around. All right. And the story Jim tells is he and Phyllis were at a gathering in Kiev, and it was a interdenominational thing of all kinds of pastors and missionaries and Americans and different things. And they had a banquet. They had a dinner. It was around Christmas time. They had a guest speaker that was scheduled to come in. Well, he didn't make it. Whatever reason, there they are. They're at a banquet. There's no guest speaker. Well, I guess we're done. I guess we can go home now. No. Jim said, well, I could speak. All right, well, are you prepared? Do you have notes? We're always supposed to be prepared, right? And one of his exercises, and he gave credit to all the students if they wanted to do this, was to memorize Luke 2, memorize the Christmas story. Okay, memorize Matthew. There's a chapter in Matthew 2, and then Luke 2, and just go through the Scripture story. And so he gets up there and starts saying, you know, it came about in the 15th year of Caesar Tiberius, and, you know, I'm misquoting it because I haven't memorized Luke chapter 2. But he said, a census was called for over all the inhabited earth. This was the first census during the governorship of Quirinius of Syria. And he starts to go on. And over however many minutes it takes to recite Luke 2, all right, and that's the other thing he recommends, is he says, dramatize it. Read it, not just as a memorized list of nothing, but, you know, but voice it because you are proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. And actually have some passion and have some interest and have some reality to what it is that you are declaring. And then, I mean, think about it. This is the greatest story ever told, right? God became man and was born and wow. And if you have Luke chapter 2 memorized, then you're able to do that. I am not, but I think that's a project I like to do. Memorizing Luke 2. Also, build yourself up so you can help others. There it is, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And by the way, that's not a verse that's in this book. It breaks my heart, okay? You would think it would be one of the 100 verses we're supposed to learn in this book. It's not one of the 100 verses. It's just in the introductory matter, urging you to learn more verses. All right? There's only one, I'm pretty sure there's only one Colossians book anywhere, verse anywhere in these 100 verses, and just so happens that it is tonight's verse. Yes, Colossians 1:20. And there's a whole bunch of Ephesians verses, including the other one that we have tonight from Ephesians 2:14. So, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Think of it. It's a living thing. It's a living thing. You get to take inside your soul, right? I usually illustrate with pregnancies this way because it's more loving and tender and exciting than parasites, okay? Which is another living thing that could be inside you. You could have tapeworms or something, okay? But that's kind of gruesome. But babies, okay, in a pregnancy, then that's something alive that's inside of you, right? And The neat thing about that is it lets you know that it's inside of you, and it kicks you and jumps and different things. And sometimes in the middle of the night, it sits on your bladder, and it's just, there's a discomfort with it. But isn't doctrine the same way? Aren't there Bible verses that are a little bit uncomfortable? When you say, Lord, that's kind of convicting, right? Well, think of that as the baby rolling over on your bladder in the middle of the night, okay, for a pregnant woman. I shouldn't be doing this. I've never been pregnant, but I've seen four of it, four times that Sharon is pregnant. But now think about it, the Word of God, not in your body, but in your soul, all right, living there. A baby inside is going to come out in 40 weeks, but the Word of God that's in your soul is never coming out. It will always be there, dwelling richly, like an old friend, something to fellowship over. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Another reason to memorize Scripture. All right, practical steps, what to do before you start. Pray, right? Doesn't James say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach? Yeah. And memorizing Scripture is a wisdom application. It is a wisdom acquisition. And so I say, Father, you give generously and without reproach. So I'm asking. I'm asking for the wisdom of memorized Scripture, the wisdom of having the Word dwell richly within me. With humility, I want to receive the Word implanted, which is able to save my soul. To ask God to help you. Are you asking for anything outside of His will? You're not asking for something wicked, right? He's not going to look at you and say, oh no, I'm not answering that prayer. He gives to all generously and without reproach. Be positive. You can do it. We don't preach the power of positive thinking, but it is a step in this aspect. You can do it. Anybody can do it. Which Bible should I use? As I say, use your current or favorite Bible. Use the one that you've used all your life, or use the one that you've used in the last 20 years. Use the one that you use typically, okay? The one you bring to church, the one you read from, the one that you have in your common use. Maybe you have other Bibles as well. I like the Holman that I read for devotional readings, but it's not the one I study out of it. It's not the one I teach from in the pulpit. All right, so the Bible I teach from the pulpit, from 4,455, whatever classes it is, that's the one I'm going to memorize, because that's the one that I have the most familiarity with. Probably should not use a paraphrase in Scripture memorization, and I agree with that. If it's the Good News or the Message or the comic book Bible from whatever, stick with a real English translation, preferably of a literal translation philosophy. So New King James, New American Standard, these are literal translation philosophies from the Greek and the Hebrew. NIV, you start getting sloppy. And that's, unless, like I say, it's the one you've been using for the last 20 years, then that's the one you're familiar with. That's the one you want to work with. When should I memorize Scripture? Okay, now here they can't put rules in a book because we're all different. We're all different, okay? So figure out what works. And don't just despair and say nothing works, because something's going to work. Make it work, okay? But then be honest and say, you know what? I'm useless until I get that third cup of coffee. All right? So generally speaking, by about 8 a.m., beyond that, things get better. But from 5 to 8, when I'm still in that wake-up stage, and I'm my first cup, okay, my second cup, my third cup. You had no idea I drink this much coffee, did you? All right. Say, all right, now I'm awake, now I'm alert, now I'm a little buzzed. Now, all right, let's get that Bible. Let's look at it. Maybe it's late at night. Okay, for you, maybe it's late at night. Maybe you got the kids in bed, the house is finally quiet for the first time all day. Maybe it's, whatever it is. But find the time that works for you on your lunch break, whatever it is. And then when you find that it's starting to work, lock in on it and stick with that. Say, all right, that's my routine. That's my consistent. I found this works. I'm going to do this every day. Whatever is best for you is the best time. Use memory cards. So get those index cards, those 3x5 cards, okay? Or 4x6, or whatever you want to use. But use them. Use them, use them, use them. last time I said and use them, and most didn't. Okay, I recommend you use them. Get them, use them. That way you can shuffle them. That way you can constantly be looking at them. Remember, it's not just thinking through them. It's seeing them in your eye so that you can see them in your mind's eye. It's reading it out loud so that you can hear it in your ear. All right. One thing I did, I got on Windows Sound Recorder and just read it out loud into my computer and made a little wave file out of it. All right, make a wave file out of it. And then you play it back on continuous loop, okay? And you just listen to your own voice saying that verse 800 times in the next hour. It works, all right? Your children come along and close the doors on your office because they're tired of listening to it, but it works. Obtain 100 3x5 index cards, blank business cards, different things, whatever size. As long as you can carry it around, you want it with you. You want it with you at work, at the doctor, and you want it with you wherever you are so you can pull them out of your pocket and start working them. And remember, we're starting with just two. Okay, next week there'll be two more. The week after that there'll be two more. The week after that there'll be two more. Eventually, the stack in your pocket start going to get thicker and thicker and thicker. So, you know, if the pocket is out of space, then maybe a purse or whatever else you've got. But keep them with you at all times. Always keep them with you. All right. And even if you're using Bible software or laptops and whatever, go ahead and still carry those little portable cards around at all times. Remember your goal. Don't lose sight of that. And I like this example here too about the Pharisees, about the Sadducees. Jesus told them, you are mistaken. You know not the Scriptures nor the power of God. You're mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures nor the power of God. In each of these verses, not only memorize the words, but seek to understand, what are they talking about? What does it mean? What's this verse dealing with? And if you need help with that, come ask me. Come ask another brother that knows what this verse is dealing with. Okay? Understand the significance to it, not just empty words. Not just, you can memorize empty words, but then what do you have? Is there any reality to it? They knew the words of the Scripture, but their hearts, they didn't know the meaning or its power. So not understanding the Scriptures nor the power of God. And that's a powerful indictment that the Lord hit those Sadducees with. So as you memorize Scripture, make sure that you don't think this will by itself make you a better Christian. And I'd agree with that. Unless the verses sink into your soul, there'll be little change in your life. All right. Well, we may stop early if I'm losing. Whatever. Okay, let's talk about the cards for those of you that weren't here last time to remember what the basic pattern is on these cards. there was a method to the things that you write on each card. You don't just write down the verse and the address. There was actually a numbering system that we employed. There's actually a theme that is written across the top of each card. And then there is a snippet for each verse that is designed as a mnemonic device, right? You know what a mnemonic device is? I've never understood why mnemonic is such a hard word to remember, because mnemonic is supposed to be a word that references something that helps you remember something. So, in the top left-hand corner, I don't think that my version here has an illustration, which is unfortunate. So, in the top left-hand corner, you want to write the theme for the unit. And as we got started on unit one, the theme was six keys. It's not going to be our theme this time. Our theme this time is going to be Jesus and His cross. And every one of these verses that we do is going to have Jesus and His cross as the theme for this unit. Weeks 22 through 29 in the book, if you have the book tonight. Weeks 22 through 29. It's 8 weeks worth of Scripture. It's 16 verses, and they're all having the same theme of Jesus and His cross. Then The second line on the top left-hand corner of the card has this snippet that helps you think of what this verse is about. And so with Jesus and his cross, the verse that we're going to have in Colossians 1:20, the snippet says, "Peace through Christ's death." And all of these snippets are going to be fairly similar to each other. They're going to help connect these verses together. But the snippet for the first week is, "Peace through Christ's death." And then the top right-hand corner is where you're going to have the three numbers, number/number/number. And this is week 22. You know, you may not do these or not. I think that, to me, the biggest impact is get a card. Get the verses on the card, okay? I think there will be value, though, to doing these themes and these numbering systems if, in fact, you want to be to the point where you're not just going to do this for the summer and then forget them. If you're going to want to continue this, not only do these 16 verses, but then add them to the 40 we did 2 years ago, and then keep adding and keep adding until you have all 100 of these down, all right? If not this year, then whenever we get all 100 of these complete. So the numbering system could be helpful. And once you have your own copy of this, then page 10 and 11, not only have these instructions I'm showing on the screen right now, but they also have a picture of what a 3x5 card would look like if you write these things out in the order that they recommend here. So we're going to have, the first one stands for the year. We're always in our first year here. The 22nd week, verse 1 and verse 2, there's only two verses per week, okay? Then the Bible verse itself is written out in the center of the card, and then the Bible reference follows the Bible verse. So, again, there's value. Write it out. Write it out in your own handwriting. Write it out in your own handwriting. It impresses it in the memory. All right, the plan for each week. Here's the other thing. Don't cram on Sunday afternoon so that you're ready for Sunday night at 6 o'clock. All right? This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In fact, you can have a rest day on Saturday and then a refresher on Sunday before the 6 o'clock hour. All right? And don't try to do both verses on the same day. Start with verse number 1 on Monday. So learn that first verse for the week on Monday. And then use Tuesday to review. Wednesday, learn the second verse. Thursday, use that to review both. Right? And the review, by the way, is going to be pretty easy the first week because it's just, one verse and then two verses. But then the second week, you're reviewing all the verses up till now. The third week, all the verses up till now. Okay? Friday is a review for all the verses. Saturday, limiting it back to just this week's verses again, the most recent ones, the ones that are newest. Okay? You're going to find after time that those older verses are just automatic. You know what I mean? They're not even tough anymore because you've reviewed them so much from week after week after week after week. So on Saturday, don't worry about those older ones. Just make sure you're locking in on those newest ones. And then this schedule anyway says Sunday day off. You can do that if you want or do the afternoon refresher. Okay, any questions about anything I've touched on so far? Any thoughts on any of this? Any recitations you want to do? Christopher's offered. Yes, ma'am? I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. The verses for this week. How about that? The verses for this week. We've done... All right, the first week, the second week, here we go. Boom. Yeah, the sections we've already done, we did 6 keys to the Christian life. Loved by Jesus, loved by the Father, loved through the Spirit, no greater love, God is love, no separation from love. So we did 6 keys to the Christian life. We did God's plan of salvation, 6 verses there. All are lost, all have sinned, sin ends in death, Jesus died to bring you to God. Jesus took your sins. Come in, Lord Jesus. Then we did the 6 I Ams. We did bread, light, gate, good shepherd, resurrection, life, way, truth, and life. There were 10 verses on the Holy Spirit, 12 verses on Bible promises, and that's where we ended. So that's 40 verses. Starting with week 22 then, the theme is Jesus and His cross. Jesus and His cross. And for... this bigger here. All right, those two on the left, not the one on the right, because that's for next week. But year one, week 22, peace through Christ's death. And then Jesus is our peace. Those are your two verses. Peace through Christ's death. Jesus is our peace. Peace through Christ's death comes from Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20. And like I say, it starts with the word and. Okay? Because it's connected to verse 19 in front of it. That was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. And through Him. Okay? And through Him. So Colossians 1:20 and then Ephesians 2:14. Those are your verses for next Sunday night. Colossians 1:20, Ephesians 2:14. So, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And boy, that's going to be a neat connection to make, because what are we studying right now? We're studying angels. We're studying the visible and the invisible, the things on earth, the things in heaven. We're considering how is it that the blood of the cross had a reconciling value in the angelic dimension, okay? So there's Colossians 1:20 and then Ephesians 2:14. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. All right, so there's your first two verses. There's 16 of these over the next 8 weeks that we'll be learning in the process of July and August in our summer scripture memory program. All right, any other questions, thoughts? Yes, ma'am. It's called Scripture Memory Made Easy. There's a catchy title, right? I think it helps them sell more books. Because it's not easy, okay? It takes work. It does take work. To me, easy means, it doesn't take work. No, it takes work. The author is Mark Water, W-A-T-E-R. Mark Water, Scripture Memory Made Easy, Hendrickson Publishers. All right. Are you on our email list? Do you get our newsletters when they come out? We got to get you on our email list. Yeah, let's do that tonight. Okay. Other questions? It's a good book. And it's available in Logos. If you've got the Logos Bible software, you can purchase it there too. Did you buy that? Amazon. It's like $3. So you may end up paying more for shipping. Or go to Lifeway, go to Family Christian Store, get it locally. You won't pay shipping, but you pay tax. Retail price. That's like $3, $3.95, something like that. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, then there's no shipping. Okay. Father, I thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for the opportunity we have to take part in this class. We pray for each one of these students that You would help each one of us working on these verses so that next Sunday night we'll pass the microphone around and we'll be delighted to stand for recitations, Father, and being able to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Thank You, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.